We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilson. It's all about the Bible itself. Welcome to this time of teaching with Dr. Don Wilson, well-known author, evangelist, seminary professor, and so much more. Many of you know him best for the last 20 years as being the pastor to America's pastor, Dr. Billy Graham. As a matter of fact, if you haven't read that book, Saturdays with Billy, you can find your way to get a copy on our website at tewonline.org. And speaking of great Wiltons, of writing great books, you'll also find Dr. Wilton's son, Dr. Greg Wilton's book, available on our website right now. That's tewonline.org, resources that will help encourage you towards God's Word. Now let's study the Word together. We're headed to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with Dr. Don Wilson.
You see, in John chapter 5, Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. The religious leaders took exception to what he had done. And in John chapter 5, Jesus defends what he did. Not that he had to defend what he did, but being God, he defended what God does. Amongst the many things that Jesus says in John chapter 5, Jesus told these people that he did what he did because all judgment is given unto him by the Father. This issue of the judgment of God is an awesome subject. We have looked at it these past 4 weeks, and I will, God willing, conclude this series on the judgment next Sunday. We've looked at it from many different angles. The Bible teaches us that there are two people in life. You're either for God or you're against God. The Bible teaches that there are two judgments. Those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who are for God, are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to continue looking at that today and next week. But those who have said no to the Lord Jesus Christ are going to stand before the great white throne judgment. Now, the Bible says that there are not only two groups of people and two judgments, but there are two eternal destinies. The one destiny the Bible calls heaven. All those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who will be judged by the judgment seat of Christ will go to heaven to be with Jesus Christ forever and forever. Those who say no to the Lord Jesus Christ and who reject His love will stand before the great white throne judgment, and the Bible says that their eternal destiny is to be cast away from the presence of Almighty God to a place called hell. Now, we are delighted that you're here today, because we are considering for the second week the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible teaches us that if you know and love the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that you do not have the freedom just to live this life exactly the way you want to live it. Just because I'm a born-again believer, the Bible does not say that I have license to do exactly what I want to do, because ultimately I'm going to heaven anyway, aren't I? I went into a home this week. One of the questions that I asked her, I said to her, "Do you know anybody else here who is going to heaven?" And she said, "Yes, my mommy's going to heaven." And I said, "How do you know that?" She said, "Because my mommy's given her heart to Jesus." And you see, friends, the question is not whether or not we're going to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. The question is this: what do I do en route to heaven? I've still got this life to live. Do I have a license as a believer to just live this life any way I so desire? Well, today our subject is going to be accountability. accountability. The Bible teaches us and shows us, among many other places, that there are 8 major areas in which and for which I am going to be held accountable to God, not in terms of whether I go to heaven, but in terms of what God expects of me. And next week, our subject is going to deal with the rewards that Christians are going to receive from God in heaven for the life that they've lived upon this earth. I'm going to give you all 8 of these areas of accountability, just like that. Are you ready? And then we're going to come back and go through them. Number 1, God's glory. Number 2, time. These are the criterion by which we are going to be held accountable before God as Christian people. Number 1, God's glory. Number 2, time. Number 3, possessions. Number 4, witnessing. Number 5, prayer. Number 6, words. The words which we have spoken. Number 7, attitude. And number 8, our works. Now that's going to confuse some people here today, because the Bible says that I'm not saved by virtue of my works. And you are exactly right. And I'm going to explain that in just a moment. But the Bible says, my friend, that I, as a born-again believer, am held accountable for the works that I do on the basis of the fact that I am what I am because of who I am in Christ Jesus. Accountability. We're all accountable people, aren't we? We all have a system of accountability. I hope that every one of us has someone or some people to be accountable to. I hope that I am accountable. I make myself accountable. I'm accountable first of all to God. I'm accountable second of all to my wife, Karen. I'm accountable to the deacons, to the chairman of deacons. I'm accountable to those who pray for me. I am accountable to those who love me. I am accountable to my family. I'm accountable to this church and to this congregation who love me. I'm not a law unto myself. We all operate within the context of accountability. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you something that happened to me many years ago. Some of you may or may not know that my father is a Baptist preacher. Well, I grew up as a preacher's kid. I grew up sitting down there in the pew and watching my dad preach and listening to him. Now, I hope I don't let some of you parents down here tonight or encourage some of the young people, Hub. I wouldn't want to do that. But I want you to know that I wasn't always altogether quite so happy about having to go to church. Just like maybe someone here today. I met a young man this morning in the early service. Oh, precious young fella. I don't think he was too happy about going to church. But he was looking terrific by the end of the service. And he certainly sat up when I said this. But you know, I remember one time, I said to myself, "Self, what is this? A boy of your caliber. I worked this all out. I rationalized. I said, here's the church. The parsonage where we lived was right next to the church, folks. I mean, it was almost on top of the church. My dad, when he preaches, if he were to preach right here, right now, you'd hear him in Columbia. I said to myself, self, why go to church? Go home. Make yourself a peanut butter sandwich. And listen to Dad in the context of your beautiful home." And so I went home that day, never told anybody about it, had the best time you've ever seen, came to lunchtime. My father, as he always did at lunchtime, turned to the family and said, "Family, How was the service today? I led the chorus. Oh, Dad. Oh, I have never heard. Oh, what a worship service. I mean, it was just outstanding. You know, my two brothers, they've always been known for their treachery. They knew that I wasn't there. They didn't even kick me under the table. Can you believe that? They just let me sink deeper and deeper into my criminality. Well, I tell you what, we got into the car that afternoon with my father. And just out of the blue, I know God prompted me to do this. I certainly didn't do it myself. I turned to him and I said to him, gee, Dad, I haven't seen Mr. Joe, chairman of deacons, for months. He said, you haven't? I said, no, sir. He was just dead quiet. Well, about 5 minutes later, he said to me, well, son, what did you think of the choir this morning? I said, Listen, folks, I could say whatever was correct. I mean, it was unbelievable, inspirational. You could just sense it in the congregation. Oh, it was wonderful. And he said, and you thought the preaching I preached? I said, Dad, I have never heard you preach like that. I tell you, you reared back, you were inspired. I mean, that was the most powerful message I have ever heard you preach, he said, son. And when my dad says, son, I know something's about to happen. He said, son, in the first place, Mr. Joe, the chairman of deacons, led the entire worship service this morning. He said, in the second place, the choir didn't sing. A lady sang today. And he said, son, in the third place, I didn't preach. We had a guest preacher. And folks, at 65 miles an hour, I was trying to jump into the glove compartment and climb out the car all at the same time. And we can talk about accountability, and we can talk about what people expect of us. But I'm going to say to you from God's Word, my beloved friends, that the Bible says that we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm beginning at verse 9. Here's what the Word says. Wherefore, we make it our aim that whether we be present or whether we be absent, that means whether we be alive upon this earth or whether we be in heaven, that we do that which is acceptable unto Him. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Isn't that remarkable? To think that God tells us that as believers, it is possible to do both good and bad. You'd say to me today, Pastor, how's that possible? I wonder if there's a Christian here today who has not been living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that you've come to God's house. Notwithstanding that we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. But because the Bible teaches, my friend, that as a born-again believer, I am not immune from sin. Rather, I'm sensitized to sin. So that because the Spirit of God dwells within me, when evil and when sin seeks to penetrate my life, there is a revulsion, there is a revolt, there is an argument that occurs between the Spirit of God who dwells within me and the very semblance of sin which would seek to penetrate the believer's soul. And so the Bible says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but we give occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in the heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be in our own minds, it is for your cause. Why? Because the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And here it is. And because Jesus died for all. They that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts today. If you're saved, my friends, if you have repented of your sin and by faith given your heart to Jesus Christ, I want to give you a biblical guarantee. You can know that you know, that you know beyond any doubt, that you're going to heaven to be with Jesus Christ.
Now that's a powerful reality. Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment, but Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you this is not just a presentation. We are presenting his messages for you every single day here on The Encouraging Word, but it's also a conversation. The very first thing we did as the ministry began was create opportunities to call and text and communicate via email on our website at tewonline.org. And you need to know one of the most exciting moments in Dr. Wilton's life is reading stories about how God is using the encouraging word in your life to strengthen you, to turn your life around. We would love to hear from you. And Dr. Wilton's email address is Don, D-O-N, at tewonline.org. He'd love to hear your story, and he'd love to pray for you. Again, Dr. Wilton's email is Don, just his first name, D-O-N, at tewonline.org. And of course, right now, if you wanted to speak with somebody or talk to us, we're here at our phone number, 866-899-WORD. Jot the number down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day. Happy to talk and pray and listen and connect you with great resources. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
But you do not have a license to live and to do exactly what you want to do. The Bible says you have been set free from the burden of sin unto service in the army of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible points, amongst many other places, to 8 criterion by which all believers are going to be held accountable. Number one, whether or not we sought to live for God's glory or for ourselves. Number one, whether or not we sought to live for God's glory or for our own glory. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 is all about. You see, Paul was reminding the people at Corinth that because of what Jesus Christ had done upon the cross, that the mandate for all of those of us who have been recipients of the love of Christ is to do everything that we do for the glory of God. Now, folks, that's not always the easiest thing to do, isn't it? I could give to you so many illustrations and so many challenges. I wish that you could have been with me and Dr. Pounds this week. We had such a wonderful privilege. A dear, precious family, Mr. and Mrs. Fook, lost their precious little boy, Julian, in a tragedy on Monday. How much we love that family, and how grateful we are to God that He has allowed our paths to cross, and how grateful we are to have had the privilege and continuing privilege of being able to minister to them during this time of their bereavement. On Wednesday, they gave to me and to Dr. Pounds the greatest privilege when they invited us to conduct the funeral and memorial service for this little boy. You know, during that time, Mary Morrell played the piano so beautifully. Mrs. Libby Russell got up to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." You know, as I watched her sing, and as I listened to Dr. Pounds speak from his heart, and as God moved right there in that chapel, and as our hearts grieved and as we bound together in the Lord Jesus Christ, I thought to myself, isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to serve and to be available to people and to love one another, not because of anything that you or I should gain, but in order that Jesus Christ should receive all the praise and all the glory. That's what I love about our church. Choir, I wish I could just give you all just a big hug. You know why? Because every time I see you, and the orchestra, and I watch you play the instruments and sing, and I think of our people in the congregation and our Sunday school teachers and the missions programs and the outreach programs, and I think of the staff, how they go morning, noon, and night, and the opportunity that we have to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible says we will all one day give an account of ourselves before God, first and foremost, to see whether the real motive of our heart is to bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, how we have used our time. How we have used our time. In Ephesians, Paul writing again in the letter to the Ephesians and chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Here's what the Bible says. See then, Christians. Paul here at this juncture is talking about the walk of the children of light. In chapter 5 and verse 1, he sets the entire pattern. He says, be ye therefore followers of God, walk in love. And this unbelievable passage in which there is so much instruction about the fruit of the Spirit, the apostle says, see then that ye walk cautiously, not as fools, but as wise people, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. I believe that the apostle would say to us today, how wise are we with our time? Probably one of the biggest challenges of my life is to use my time profitably. By the way, just in case any of you got any doubt about it, a profitable use of time is to take a good, well-earned nap. That's being profitable. Being profitable is spending time with your children. Men, beginning with me, all of us get so busy, we begin to neglect our families and our children. A profitable use of my time as a born-again believer is to prioritize. You pray for me as I pray for you, that together as families, we would use our time profitably. We need to use our time profitably at work, at home, and at play. But the Bible says that we must not walk as fools, but rather as wise people, saying, oh God, as a believer.
Such powerful teaching of God's Word from Dr. Don Wilton. It's our prayer that you've not just heard Dr. Don as he's been teaching, but you've heard the voice of God through the Word of God, the Bible itself, to draw you close to Him, to know that God loves you and He has a good plan for your life. I pray that you've heard Him teach now, and you would open your heart to what Dr. Don Wilton wants to share with you next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If you were praying along with Dr. Wilton to give your life to Jesus moments ago, or perhaps early in the program, you just got serious with God and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to turn my life, to turn away from my sin and turn into your hands so that you can lead me and guide me and direct me. Boy, we would love to speak with you and pray with you. As a matter of fact, Dr. Don has prepared some resources for you if you just gave your life to Jesus Christ or rededicating your life to Christ. He wants you to have them absolutely free if you'll call us at 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day, We'd love to pray with and for you and connect you with great resources like this.
Hello, everybody. You know, my friends know me as Don Wilton, pastor, friend, neighbor, dad, husband, grandpa. But I'm going to tell you, people all around the world just like you know and identify Dr. Billy Graham as that man that God used to reach so many people around the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of knowing Mr. Graham in a very personal and intimate way, both as his friend and as his pastor. In fact, for many years, I drove up to his home in Montreat, North Carolina, and visited with him every Saturday. Just like friends do everywhere, we sat together and ate together, walked, talked. We discussed politics, friends, places, people. We laughed our heads off. We did everything one could possibly imagine. That's why I wrote this wonderful book, Saturdays with Billy. It's all about a personal relationship. And I hope and pray that Saturdays with Billy will be a blessing to you, will inspire you, and will encourage your heart, just as Mr. Graham encouraged my heart and changed my life. God bless you, my friends.
Remember, that's just one of many great resources on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. While you're there, click the devotional button and sign up for the daily email from Dr. Don, a powerful, insightful element to God's Word. Takes a couple of minutes and will jumpstart your quiet time for sure. Sign up today at tewonline.org. And before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, before we go today, what a day of worship we've had. You know, you and I have in the middle of our hearts our beloved nation, don't we? How much I love America. I'm so proud to be an American. And you know, this broadcast is seen by so many of our armed forces across the world. And we hear from many, many of them. And we love them, we admire them, we respect them. They are our real heroes. And I want you to join with me as we are praying for them, that God would protect them and their families and loved ones. Let's do that right now, shall we? Just before we go, why don't you join with me? Lord Jesus, I'm joining with thousands of people right now and praying for our members, our brave, brave members of our community and our world who are in uniform. Many are overseas in strange and difficult places, families left behind. Lord Jesus, bless them. Keep your hand upon them in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be sure and join us again tomorrow for the next edition of The Encouraging Word as Dr. Don Wilton concludes the judgment seat message. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And between now and then, we can stay connected on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org.